Can you imagine just for a second what it's going to be like in heaven? Today, by the way, is really good, isn't it? Isn't it cool to see all of our countries, all of our flags? And we think about the mess in our world, and yet God was not thwarted by the mess, not thwarted by the division, not thwarted by the wars between countries, and God called us to heaven. God called us to be his children. And I want to throw this out. You know, a lot of us, and we think back to our heritages and my heritage, I think our people that from our my families, my mom and my dad, they covered probably most of Western Europe. And they fled war. They looked for a better future, a better hope. Sounds a little bit like Abraham, right? Looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, right? But they came to America, you know, from Germany, from the Netherlands, Jane's family from Russia, from England, from France, from Ukraine, and they ended up here. And God in his sovereignty brought the good news of the gospel to us and saved us. And we think about some of you were brought here, your families against their will. But praise God that our sinfulness doesn't stop God's sovereignty. And he calls us to himself. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Turn to Revelation 5. We're going to move and groove as we dig into God's word this afternoon. But we're talking about heaven. And we continue our series about knowing Jesus, growing in his grace and knowledge, and longing for our eternal home. And I want to just take 30 seconds. Let's just pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Dear God, I just pray, Lord, at this moment that you would just quiet our hearts, take away the distractions, and help us to hear your word. Father, guide my tongue that I would speak your word and your word only. And Lord God, change our worship the way it ought to be. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to just kind of move ahead, and I want to stop thinking about this. We think about heaven, right? By the way, do you guys enjoy worship at FBC? Yes. Amen, right? Amen. Amen. It's okay to clap. Amen, right? Like, it just moves my heart, and I just praise God for Rosemary, for Pastor Ansu, and for our team that just lead us every single week. But can you imagine the best praise and worship ever is going to be in heaven? And all the stuff that gets in the way is going to be gone. And we're going to talk about that this afternoon. Heaven's new song in a new way. And I want to encourage you, by the way, just kind of listen in for a second. Because worship, one of the books that I read a few years ago, it said this. It says, worship, right, is sometimes a battleground. Sometimes people think worship is a playground. But worship is really holy ground. And we're going to kind of dig in and just kind of think about that this morning. So I want to just think about this as our blurb. We put this on YouTube to kind of get people to think about what's going on. Are you blessed by worship at your church? And can you just guys imagine just for a second this morning what worship will be like in heaven when every knee is bowed to Jesus? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, it talks about that fact. So I want you guys take this, write this word down in your bulletin. Or in your Bible, right? Right at this part. We're going to think about this today. The character of our worship. You know, in people, character matters, right? Character is like what you do when no one's looking. The character, what makes up our worship. That's what we want to think about this afternoon, right? So we're going to dig into that. And I want to just move right on down and think about this. This is the eternal truth. There will be a day that every knee shall bow and everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we will sing a new song in a new way for all of eternity. And by the way, you know, some of us, I can't wait to be able to sing a new song in a new way. You know, but it doesn't even mean that. It's more about character than about, you know, voice quality, right? So here's a couple questions. What do you think worship will be like when we worship God in heaven? What do you think it's going to be like? You know, what songs are we going to sing? What instruments will we have? Stop thinking about that for a second, right? What will be different than worship on earth? And yeah, but I'll throw this out. Let's be honest. We're in church. Be honest, right? How many of your folks have ever been distracted during worship? Raise your hand. Right. And you'll even see us, by the way. I have to confess, every once in a while, if you see me on my phone, I'm not checking the game score. But a lot of times something might be going on technically, and I'm texting, Andrea, turn it up, turn it down, do this, do that. Or, you know, whoever else up there, Laureen, you know, we're trying to figure things out. It happens all the time. You'll see, if you see Rosemary and myself and Pastor Ansu, if we're texting, you know, we're not hopefully doing anything crazy, but we're trying to get things right for worship. But hey, ever got a call during worship? Yeah. And sometimes we'll make a joke, right? Well, it must be the Holy Spirit. You know, it usually is not him, by the way. You know, somebody else. But what'll be different? We'll think about that. So I want to just move on right away and dive in. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. And I want you guys, we're going to turn back to chapter 4 just for a second. I want you to think about this thought for a second. By the way, heaven is real. It says absent from the body, right? Present with the Lord. We talked about this in our series a little bit. When you leave this earth as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are immediately transported, your soul and spirit, to heaven, right? And we'll talk about, you know, what body do we have and all that stuff coming up in weeks ahead. But we immediately are there. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth because God's going to refurb everything that's here and make it even more awesome. Awesome is going to become awesome plus when the new heaven and new earth, right? And we'll talk about that coming up as well. But I want you guys to take a look at Revelation 4 and 5. There's this scene in heaven. There's a scroll. There's sadness. And then there's salvation. So I want you guys to just kind of dig in with me for a second. Here's Revelation chapter 4. And I want you guys, by the way, to get a picture. Everybody look up for a sec. What are some of the distracting things in this room? Call it out real fast. Call it out. The flags. I think they're kind of cool, but they can be distracting, right? Some of you guys are going, like, here's one, by the way. This is, you're saying Nigeria was caught up in Korea. I fixed that, so no more distraction, right? It's not your fault, Isaac. Don't worry. Isaac put it back for you, right? But here's the deal, right? There's distractions. The windows. Remember we used to have those curtains and we had yellow glass in the window? And thank God we got rid of all that, right? And some people helped us. Some people threw rocks through the yellow glass, and we only had like one more pane left. So praise God, we can see out now, and people can see in. I remember one time as a church, we were afraid people might see us in here. I hope they do. I hope they do see us, right? But that's a distraction. There's all kinds of distractions that happen. But here's the deal. I want you guys to get this in your mind. When we get to heaven, the throne of God is going to be central. And I don't know if heaven has windows, but we're not going to be looking out. Right? The throne of God is central to our worship. And I want you to read this. It says, and by the way, this happened. So John, the apostle, right? The guy who wrote John and the book of Revelation, 1 John and 2 John and 3 John as well. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. You guys, you ever hear like a voice like that? When you hear a trumpet, it just stops you, right? It's loud. By the way, heaven and worship for all you guys, especially people like my age and older, it's going to be loud. But we're not going to complain, okay? So there's a trumpet-like voice, and it's God speaking. And he says, come up here, and I'm going to show you the things which must take place after this. And John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who was sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone, in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. I want you guys to get this picture. So these are precious stones, and they're brightly colored. One of them is red. And can you imagine, like, just the light that is going to come off of representing the holiness of God? You know, we'll probably need some sunglasses, it will seem like, in heaven. Right? It's going to be so bright and so prominent. Every distraction that distracts us today will not distract us there. And he continues and he says, and around the throne, and by the way, these are representative, there were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And by the way, what does that say? That represents the purity, right? And these 24 elders, many people think about the 12 apostles. right? Or at least they're representative of them and the 12 tribes of Israel. Because God has redeemed people from what? Every tribe, every kindred, every nation, and every tongue. And they're seated there in purity because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed them from all their sin. Right? And it says, and from the throne proceed lightnings and thunders and voices, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Picture that for a second. That's how worship in heaven is going to start out. You know, it's not going to be Rosemary up front. Maybe she'll be part of that heavenly praise team. Right? But we're going to see the Lord God Almighty from the very beginning. So get this in your mind. God's holiness, God's power, and his worshipers are there, right? The scene will continue real quick. Look what it says. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first creature was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings. But remember Isaiah 6? The seraphim, one of the angels, they have six wings. Hard to kind of picture this, what this exactly looks like, right? And it says, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And I want you to get this thought, and I wrote it on the bottom there. We'll just kind of move ahead on this, but all in heaven continuously and humbly worship God. All. And we'll come back to that thought in just a minute. And I want to kind of move ahead there, if we would. Help me out, Jay, if we're a little bit caught. Oh, take us back to B, I'm sorry. We'll go backward to B. There it is, B, the scroll. So we're going to go to Revelation 5. So Seth 4 kind of sets the stage. Here we are in heaven. Almighty God is there. By the way, everybody look up. It's probably easy to tune me out. It's easy to tune out Pastor Ansu. It's easy to tune out the worship with all the distractions of our lives. But can you imagine when the brightness and the holiness of God is right before you? It's going to be hard to tune it out, right? Let's go to Revelation 5. And he says these words. He says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back. By the way, stop for a second. We read scripture close, right? You guys understand the scroll was written on usually papyrus or maybe animal skins. But typically when it was rolled up, right? It wasn't a book. It wasn't in codex form like a book is, where you can look at this page and then that page and turn it over. Scrolls typically are not written on the back. But this scroll, there is so much that God is revealing about his judgments and about his deliverance and his salvation. And he says this, and it's sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. And I want you guys to get this in your mind, right? Because heaven is real. Hell is real. God is going to lift us up, and God is going to destroy those who don't know him. So there's judgment and there is deliverance. And the scroll contains the judgments of God. When I read the book of Revelation, there's seven seals, seven trumpet judgments, and seven bowl judgments. And when you open the seventh one of each, it initiates the next round of God's judgments on earth. And you see that Revelation 6 and 8, Revelation 8 again, 9 and 11, and then the bowls in Revelation 16. But what's also in this scroll, the most important thing is God's redemption plan for man and all of the universe. And I want you to stop for a second. So John is what? He's kind of sad because guess what? No one can open the scroll. John's not so happy about the judgments, but he is so happy about the deliverance of God's people. I want y'all to look up for a second. Are you ready to be delivered from the pain, the sadness, the tears, the groaning, the sorrow of this world? Amen, right? We all are, right? And that's where John is. And just as a kind of a point, sometimes the judgment is called the day of the Lord. You also see it in the Bible as that day. And it kind of encompasses all of those judgments that are on that scroll, but also the redemption of God. And look what John, so John says, he's sad. He says, the sadness, he says, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. And the issue here is no one seems that no one in heaven is worthy to roll out the judgment of God and the redemption of God. And it literally breaks God's, you know, John's heart as he stops and he thinks about that. And we'll just keep moving right on down. But check it out. I want you to get this in your mind. But he said, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Don't weep. And by the way, everybody look up. This is a little bit like it feels like on earth sometimes. Sometimes you're like, God, where you at? You seem like you're a little bit late. Are you really there? Are you really going to deliver me? Are you really going to do this, right? And John might be feeling that way. It says, one elder said, don't weep. Behold, look what he says. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, that we read about in the book of Genesis all the way back at the beginning, right? Judah, Jesus Christ comes from the tribe of Judah. And actually, Judah's called a lion's whelp in the book of Genesis, right? He says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root out of David, and we read that in the book of Isaiah, that little bit of the root that's left after Israel's destroyed, that root is going to rise up and deliver the people. And he says, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose the seven seals. So guess what? There is one person in heaven who can loose the seals and open the scroll, and his name is Jesus. Right? And I want you guys to get a hold of this word. It said he has prevailed. And I want you guys to wrestle with that for a minute. By the way, that word, and I put it on the screen, Jesus has prevailed, means conquered. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15, right? That he declares victory over death and over sin. But the Greek word is the word, it comes from the word nikao. Anybody got Nikes on today? Somebody got them on, right? No Nikes today? But that's where the word Nike comes from. It means conquer, right? So if you wear Nikes, you conquer, right? You conquer in sports, right? Sometimes. But the idea of this word is Jesus has conquered sin, death, Satan, everything else, right? He has prevailed because he died, but what? He conquered death. He rose again. And by the way, he's worthy because he died and he was a perfect man. He died and then he rose again, showing God's acceptance of his perfect sacrifice. So all of our sin is forgiven, and he is allowed to open up those seals of judgment and redemption. Right, who's there? Jesus has prevailed. He will judge, but get this in our minds. By the way, I don't know about sometimes, doesn't it feel good to get even sometimes? When we get in heaven, you know what? All we're gonna be worried about or thankful for is we're there. I'm not gonna be worried about judging somebody else for the wrong they did. I'm just gonna be so glad I'm there. I'm gonna be so glad that Jesus overcame and I have an eternal home that doesn't have a lot of fire in it and torment, right? And that's the point. Continue on. So there's this new song we're gonna sing, right? And I want you guys to get this in our mind. Worship, there's a new song. And by the way, the Psalms talk about a new song as well. And I want you guys to get a sense of what this new song is about and what this new way is about. We're going to dig right in. So look what happens. We're going to segue right down in this passage. It says, now when Jesus, he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, which way tend to be the angelic creatures, and the 24 elders. Look what they did, by the way. What did they do? Read it. They fell down. They were just humbling themselves before God, just so thankful, just so appreciative. They just humbled themselves. They fell down before the Lamb. It says, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. And I'm going to throw this out. We sing a lot of great songs here, right? And we talk about all the many things that God has done. By the way, think about the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. That was the Hebrew hymnal, if you will. You know, that's what they played on Caleb back in Israel. Not exactly, but, you know, that was their songbook, right? But there's a new song. And by the way, here's what the new song is all about. I want you guys to get a hold of this for a second. They sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain. So we are in heaven forever worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ because he was slain. And by the way, if he wasn't slain, we are done. It says, you were slain, and notice the next part. Would you say it with me? And have what? Redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So all of us, you guys, are going to sing the same song, no matter where we came from, no matter what we used to sing back where we were in our countries, we're going to sing the same song. And I want you guys to get this song. The song is the song of redemption. By the way, guy, Bob Marley, right? He sang the redemption song. Anybody know about that? Right? But that redemption song was more about, like, you know, rising up and making things better on earth. But here's the redemption song we're going to sing. We're going to sing the same redemption song that Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death, and that's why we're there. Right? And look what it says. And he's made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. And I want you guys to get this in your minds for a second about worship. Here's one of the differences. The worship is focused on the finished work of Jesus in redeeming us to serve and reign. That's why we praise God. By the way, all the songs that you guys sang today were all about that idea of us singing and praising God. Because why? Because he has conquered sin and conquered death. And we're going to be in heaven with them from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, and every kindred. And we're going to reign on the earth. Now, the idea of that new heaven and new earth, think about this. You guys are going to be kings and queens. Now, some of your friends are going, boy, I know them. It's a little bit scary. But praise God, you will reign as a sinless king and sinless queen for God. Because God will have taken all that away. So I want you guys to get this idea about heaven for a second. The worship is focused on the finished work of Christ in redeeming us. And I want to just say, here's an important thing to get a hold of too. How many of us, right, we sit in church, and sometimes, by the way, don't look at your neighbor, because sometimes it's us. The praise team is just praising God with all their heart and mind, and we're standing there like this. Isn't it true? That's a true thing. It happens all the time, right? Excuse me, I'm just going to cough for a second. There we go. But I want you guys to understand, deliverance from God is big. We read about that in the Psalms, right? Deliverance from God is big in this world. But eternal deliverance is monumental. It will be the theme of our worship. It will never stop. We will never think it's too repetitive. We'll never think it's too much. We'll never get tired. We'll never get bored.
By the way, I will say one thing. Heaven is not one long praise and worship service.
You know, we're not going to start at hymn number 4, How Great Thou Art, in our hymnal, and go to hymn number 562, one after another. But worship in heaven will go on continually. And here's my thought. That's what we miss here on earth in our worship, isn't it? We don't understand, right, that Jesus Christ died and rose again so that we don't have to suffer, we don't have to spend time in hell, and that we can have all of eternity with God in heaven. But here's our challenge. The distractions of this life, everything else that we think about, get in the way of us seeing the throne of God right here. But kind of in our minds, we have to think about, if Jesus didn't die and rise again, no one else could have. And I would be lost in my sins. And I would be eternally damned, and I would spend all of eternity in hell.
And that's terrible. Can you imagine it?
The other side of this is awful. But we live life here on earth as Christians, right? And we're glad we're saved. But we're trying to sort of walk the fence and live everything for this side of life. So worship in heaven is so much different. But I think we need to practice some of that worship in heaven right here. And we'll dig into that. Here's the new way. He said, and I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. But that's a funny way to say it. Anybody know what's 10,000 times 10,000? It's 100 million is the number, by the way. Plus thousands of thousands. And they're all saying with a loud voice, what? The song of redemption. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessing. By the way, notice how it's larger in this chapter? But look what it says then. It says, and by how many creatures? It says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, what did they say? They said, amen. You know, people, like Pastor Anson would say that when he's preaching. Amen. And then sometimes you hear like one little amen, amen. And then he says, amen. And then you guys kind of get the idea, right? But here's the deal. When we talk about praising Jesus, the amen will be so loud it'll probably shake the foundations of heaven. Right? That's what he's saying. He says, and the 24 elders, look what they did. They fell down and they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So as we kind of tie this up briefly today, the character of worship, this character of worship reflects this, right? Worship in heaven looks like continuous praise. And I'll throw this out. I know in this life, we can't just be praising God in this way, but we can live a life that our lives are continuous praise because everything we do as unto the Lord. Amen. And the New Testament talks about that, right? Do everything for what the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that. Do all things to the glory of God. But heaven is about continuous praise. And then check this out. It's about submission. That I'm going to submit my will and my wants and my desires and give God the time that he deserves. And I'm going to humbly bow down to him and worship him that way. And again, is that us all the time? Sometimes we're like, can we hurry up? You know, church is taking so long. I got things to do. You know, I used to work with a woman. You know, this, by the way, this is a Germany shirt. That's my heritage. I used to work with a German woman at my first job at Penn Mutual Life Insurance. And she would ask me about Sunday, about church. And At that day, we had Sunday school, church, and evening service. And she would ask me this question. Her name was Lynn. She was a great worker, great person. But she said, "How do you get anything done? Because you just at church all the time." Right? And I'll throw this out. Doesn't that idea cross our minds? Because we feel the pressure and the pull of the things of this life. But here's the deal, right? And by the way, not that we shouldn't be aware of that and manage our time well. We try. But guess what? Jesus deserves it. More than anyone else, right? More than anyone else. And the last two things, right? There is a redemptive focus. We are praising God because he redeemed us and we are saved. Amen, right? And lastly, there is universal participation. So none of us are going like, you know, we're all like just saying, yes, we want to praise God. Yes, we want to give thanks. You know, our minds are focused on worship. We need to be worshipers. And by the way, that's the difference. And I want to just leave us with this challenge, right? If we think about heaven, how should my worship change on earth in light of that future that we just described in heaven? How should it change? What would be different? What could be different? What do I do that doesn't really glorify God? And I want to challenge us, right? I think we sing a lot of redemptive songs. We sing about Jesus. We praise him so much. And it should focus on his redemption, right? But we have to humble ourselves, prioritize God in the midst of everything else, and honor him with our worship. And in this world, that seems hard, doesn't it? Because worship is the battleground. We fight about, I don't like that song. I don't like how loud it is. I don't like that beat. I don't like that singer. I don't like this. Guess what? In heaven, that will all be gone. And Christian maturity kind of tells us that's where we need to get to now. We have to practice that now. Right? Worship's not a battleground, it's not a playground, but it's holy ground for the one who deserves it all, Jesus. We're going to close with a chorus. So we're going to ask our praise team to come up, and we're going to close out with a word of prayer.
Thank you.
get a heavenly amen to that, right?
Amen.
We stand here as saved people because worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
He made it happen, right? He made it happen. And that's why we're going to praise him for all of eternity. And I just hope that our worship, I'm going to say, I hope my worship praises God. You know, worship isn't the background that I can do something else. Worship is the place that I meet God face to face and tell him how much I'm thankful and how much I love him. I hope it can be that for all of us as we move forward. You know what? Heaven's going to be amazing, but we can practice it right here. At this time, we're going to ask Barbara Shimingo to come, and she's going to share with us our benediction today. You know, as we think about all of our countries, isn't it kind of cool? There's some prayers that are based in different cultures that just speak to our heart. And Barbara's going to lead us in this traditional Irish prayer as we close out this.
Some of you may already know this. It's well known throughout Ireland and many places in the world. It probably was written sometime after Christianity first came to Ireland. And it goes like this. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft on your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Amen. Amen.